Powered by a 100% Australian electricity and gas retailer. That's Red Energy. Switch today. Robot Building Supplies. Robots got it. Afternoons on SEN.
Great to have your company here on Dwayne's World. All thanks to Robot Building Supplies. They've got it and they deliver. Robotbuildingsupplies.com.au. And we're powered as always by Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy. 1300 736 736 is the open line for Werribee Kia. Business continues with social distancing. And 0433 98 1116 is the well-known Speckle Tax number. Speckle Cash Loans up to $2,000. Paid fast. We're roaring into the last hour, and what a great way to start it off. He's a star of the competition, this bloke. He plays for the North Melbourne Football Club. Big welcome to you, Sean Higgins.
Thanks for having me.
How's life? I mean, I imagine you feel a little bit better having got in and seeing some teammates and staff there at Arden Street face-to-face yesterday. What was it like being back training yesterday, Sean?
Exciting day yesterday, mate. Yeah, back to some normality for our lives, which was good, albeit a little bit different. We didn't get to cross paths with every player and coach, but what we were able to do was get back into the football club, get out on the track, have a kick around, and really build towards a compact sort of 3 or 4 weeks in the lead up to round two.
Wouldn't normally ask you how many showers you have a day, but some talk yesterday that there were quite a few had at some clubs. What's the protocol there at Arden Street? How many times did you have to have a shower and change into those fresh clothes before you nicked off?
Yeah, it was a bigger bag than normal that I took into the football club yesterday with a number of changes of clothes and towels and what have you. But look, it's what we need to do. Clearly, we needed to shower as part of the hygiene protocols. And also, so that's, to answer your question, that's done before training, post-training, and also post-weights, if that's what the format of your day looks like. But basically, whenever you're in a new environment within the football club, that we shower and clean down and do the same. In terms of the gym and making sure that all equipment is wiped down and cleaned before the next 7 or 8 guys enter, and we started that yesterday, and a little bit unusual, but things that we need to do, and all guys adapted relatively well yesterday. We had a good day across the board, and we're excited about getting back into it again out on the track tomorrow.
So what did your day look like yesterday in terms of the players, the teammates you did train with, Sean? I mean, you had a group of 8, I think it was 7 players, and a coach. Who was with you there, and how have the club and Reece Shaw chosen to split you up?
Yeah, so we were in lines, and within the lines, depending on the size those lines are in terms of forwards, mids and backs, then they would be split up as well. So I was with the other midfielders in our team, myself, Cunners, Goldie, Jai Simkin, and a number of other guys. And look, we had a really good session. It was good fun. It was good to be back. We were able to get some work in, got some running in, and got the footies involved, and just trying to build that chemistry back as quickly as possible.
Yeah, and just on that, you take what you're given, of course, as players. I'm not saying you've got a choice in the matter, but is it long enough, do you think, Sean? What is it, 3.5 weeks out from round two? Is it enough time?
Yeah, it is, definitely. I can only speak for my preparation and my team's preparation, and we didn't take the foot off, and we had good engagement from our whole playing group online and in meetings nearly every day, but definitely multiple times a week in terms of our game plan and way we wanted to build towards and continue to add on from what we did during the pre-season, and then obviously into round one, combine that with the physical side of it. And look, it wasn't exactly the same preparation as you'd have in terms of equipment and gym and weightlifting and that sort of thing. But in terms of a conditioning point of view and volume and work into the legs, then we got some really good work in, and it is what it is, and we'll get through the next few weeks and be ready to go come 11th of June.
Now, between now and June 11, there's a lot of COVID tests to undertake, Sean. Now, we've spoken to a few players here. Now, some say it's absolutely horrendous, and some say it's no issue at all. Where do you fit in with it?
I'll fit somewhere in the middle, and to be honest, last Friday was our first test, and I think our club was after a few others, and I had kept a close eye on the news and a few of the pictures of guys coming, driving out of Marvel, and there was a few watery eyes and tears in the eyes. So I braced myself for the worst. Look, it's definitely not the best thing you'd do, but it wasn't as bad as maybe I thought it would have been. And they do a good job. You're in and out of there pretty quickly. Look, not something you want to rush out and do every day, but it is what it is, and we'll get on with it.
Hey, I'm prying here, Sean, but who really struggled down there at Arden Street? Who really sooked it up at having to do the test?
Oh, no, the boys were all right. We got a bit of a group message, and don't worry, there was some eager guys throwing some messages out who were later on in the day. Look, brought a tear to the eye, water in the eye, and that's about it. We move on, but the coach said it was no dramas at all. So if he says it's all good, it's all good.
Fair enough. And we do have a laugh about the protocols that are in place for you guys that really go above and beyond in almost every sense that put on the rest of us in society. We know the reasons behind that, but we read today there's restrictions in the Herald Sun on casual relationships. Now, you're fortunate enough to be a family man, but there's a lot of single guys at the footy club. How do they feel about this, and are we going a bit far?
Yeah, a couple of the younger boys may have a few questions to ask. It's all clear on this end, mate. As you said, married man with a little girl, so doesn't bother me too much. But look, I'm sure the boys can maybe just keep the eye on footy for the next month or so and see how we go.
The football department restructuring is a nasty one, isn't it, in many ways? And we know that the human toll of these guys will be, girls will be stood down. And who knows, we hope they get back to the game, but the reality is they might not. Now, two of your line coaches didn't make the cut of 25, Brendan Whitecross and Jared Rivers. I guess there's this massive challenge here, isn't it, the football department, you know, people needing to do more and multitask.
Yeah, so this time sort of, it's mixed emotions, isn't it? Because you've got the excitement and, the joy of getting back out there and playing footy and being in an environment that, you know, for me, I've been involved with 15 years. So it feels normal and you love all the players and staff and coaches that are there. But on the other hand, it's not quite the same. And unfortunately, as a result, there's been guys and girls stood down and left with no job. So the unfortunate thing is, look, it's no reflection, especially for those two guys that you mentioned on their coaching ability or capacity whatsoever. At the end of the day, there's two main restrictions. One, financially, and also two is the number of staff that you have in the football department at the moment. And it's limited on both fronts, which means, unfortunately, we're going to have some fallout from that. And those guys that you mentioned, it goes across the whole competition and even broader across the club when you talk of different departments. And it's really sad because it's not only people involved, but family involved in this and as it is in all industries. So, you know, we're mindful of that and we reach out to those guys and look, we've all been in contact with them and they've been in contact with us and it's unfortunate, it's challenging. They'd prefer to be there, but at the same time, we just wish them all the best and make sure them and their families are doing okay.
Indeed we do. And Heath Shaw up at GWS mentioned yesterday, Sean, that we might see a little... I guess a greater proliferation of playing coaches, I guess, more Luke Hodge types, as it were, players that can take on a coaching role while they are still playing. I mean, you've been around for a while. I don't know if that's something that you feel you might be able to have an impact with as an experienced member of the team. But do you think we might see a little bit more of that given the cuts made to the football departments?
I think we'll see a lot more of that. So it's been some casual discussion around that. But clearly when staff are let go and there's areas that need to be fulfilled, then players need to stand up and that's across the whole leadership group, the captains, and I'm sure that'll take place. And the responsibility for us older guys at our footy club to make sure that the void left by, you know, you mentioned two line coaches, development coaches, whatever it is, then, you know, we need to stand up and make sure the same service for all players is getting had. And I think also, it's a short preparation, so we need to be across the next 2 or 3 weeks exactly what the coaching staff wants so we can implement that in games as quickly as possible. And as you mentioned, it's us older guys should take on that responsibility and see it as just the part that they need to play to help the team. So we'll, you know, we'll definitely be doing that.
Hey, the Let Us Play campaign, I think you're involved in this. I saw this a while ago, this important campaign across a variety of industries, not just the AFL. It's got a pretty important message. I think you're involved. Can you tell, for those that don't know, tell us a bit about the Let Us Play campaign?
Yeah, so it's across Mesa in the coming weeks. You'll see it throughout social media and the hashtag Let Us Play. And it's basically around encouraging everyone to download the COVID Safe app as quickly as possible, but get as majority and as many on it as possible to make it safer. And the sooner that it's safe, the sooner we can get out and play. And it's across, as you mentioned, not just AFL, but all sports and furthering into entertainment. And look, we're pumped that we're back playing, but also one of the key parts of that is getting fans back and engagement in crowds and that sort of thing. And like I said, the sooner we can all get the app, then the sooner we can take steps towards getting back crowds in the whole entertainment space, and sport being a major part of that.
Now, when the games do resume from June 11, of course, the AFL's told the clubs and the players, Sean, that you will fly in and out of a venue on game day. So interstate trips, you'll be flying into that venue on the morning of the game and then flying straight back out of it on the other side. What do you think this will change in the club space, and how will it impact you as players having to go to a venue on the same day of a game interstate?
Look, I think it's probably, there'll be two examples of it, Sammy. I reckon there'll be the trip to, won't be Adelaide at the moment, but potentially at some stage, but you know, Hobart, Sydney, Canberra, wherever it is, these shorter flights should be fine. I mean, they're chartered flights. You're straight to the airport, you're on, and you're at the ground. Potentially, Brisbane would pose Gold Coast a slightly greater challenge with the duration. Mm. But we'll adapt, and it'll be new. It'll be a good learning the first time we do it. We're not exactly sure, and I'm as player just thinking out loud now. I'm not exactly sure how you would approach it and handle it, but you'd be open to it, and we'd learn from the first and second time that we did it. There's obviously the pros for it and also some cons, but we'll adapt, and it's obviously what needs to happen. And then it'll be interesting what the flow-on effect is and how this impacts next year and beyond, that maybe for the shorter flights this just becomes the norm. Who knows?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, isn't it? And as a player, how do you look at the advantage or disadvantage of the clubs that have to go into this hub in Queensland? I mean, if that was you, if that was North Melbourne and you were put in there for 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks, whatever it might be, do you feel that would disadvantage you? And do you think it's automatically harder now for the WA and SA teams to have good campaigns given they'll be in this quarantine hub?
Look, I'm not sure. I mean, if we had to have gone into a hub situation, then I can only speak personally for me, then I was prepared to do what needed to be happened to be done, to play, that is. And if it's hubs, it's hubs. And if it's the situation we are now, or it's fly in, fly out, then we do it. And not really thought too long and hard around the disadvantage of it. It's like, well, if this is the scenario, how do we best make use of it? And we're doing that at the moment. I'm sure those clubs will be doing that. And still a little bit of noise around it in the media, clearly, because people are intrigued for it, and it is different. But I'd be surprised there's any real talk of it internally at clubs, and that's the hand that you're dealt at the moment. So it's okay. So how do we best utilise that and build towards playing games, which is what we all wanted to do? There's obviously different personal circumstances in and around that would maybe make people feel slightly different. But from my point of view, it's all around what presents and then how do we make best use of that situation.
Hey, the AFL's still working on what they're going to do in this space, and I'm referring to the interchange bench. Would you like to see two extra there on the pine if I go from 4 to 6?
Yeah, I've been on record to say that I'm one for increasing interchange. I actually think that would be better for the game and improve the standard of the game. You could, through these situations and circumstances, extend that to a bigger bench, given that some guys could be underdone through this period. Obviously, the preparation hasn't been the status quo. So, maybe either way, not real fast. The increase in interchange, I think, is beneficial. So if that is a flow-on effect to having more players out there. And also the other thing I just thought of then, maybe it is better to expose more players to games because there is no second-tier competition at the moment. And if we're able to play an extra two on the bench, then potentially across the year, that may give, you know, 6, 8, 10 guys senior exposure whereas they would never have had that given there's no other football to be played.
Yeah, it's going to be a tricky one, isn't it? The guys that are on the fringe or out of the side, how they sort of can even attempt to replicate that match sharpness and match practice. I'm not sure if you watch the game on the couch much at home, Sean. I know you're a young father, so you've got your hands full on the home front, but some talk Channel 7 going to pop in some subtle crowd noise for their TV broadcasts of matches. Is that something you'd like to hear at the ground even, through the loudspeakers? Bit of talk about some canned audience.
Yeah, well, I was across that. I did see a little bit of that, so it would be interesting. I think it's definitely something to consider for the TV audience, because the vision is clearly just tight in on the play and the players involved in those circumstances. A little bit of background noise might work. I'm not sure how that would go when you're out there playing. You've got other things to worry about than artificial crowd noise. But I think it could be a plus for, it's clearly not going to substitute going to the footy, but some sort of atmosphere would build a little bit more interest when you're on the couch watching at home. What are your thoughts around that?
I was just going to say, you're probably going to have to watch your P's and Q's as a player, eh? Because we hear so much more now as a viewer. There's nothing to block out the noise. So a lot of what's said on the field, you could actually hear in round one. It was quite bizarre.
Yeah, it was. And especially in our game, we were in a situation where the game got tight and, coaching from the bench, it clearly was easier to be able to instruct your players. And even out on the ground, you normally, if you're at Marvel and, you know, it's close to a full house, there's no way. I mean, you can barely yell at a player 15, 20 metres away to instruct them or to get them off the ground or to go in some sort of ball control or whatever it is. But we're able to do that. So it's another layer. I think also a bit of an insight into that in the lounge room at home is beneficial to see the involvement the players can have out on the ground, and that was definitely present in round one.
It was important win round one, wasn't it? Geez, you mentioned it got tight. It certainly did. It must feel like a lifetime ago now, but still great to have the win. Felt like you'd be able to pick up where you left off, you think, when you resume?
Yeah, it was. I mean, banking a win where we're starting now, you're in front of half the competition. But then also, it gave us, it was just some great learnings to come out of that game. We started poorly in the first half. And we've now had 7 or 8 weeks, not only to review that game and identify what and where it went wrong, but also to look back on games, particularly in the back end of last year when we were playing pretty good footy under Shorey, and what it looked like and what it felt like and the roles that were played. So we reviewed that strongly, and it does feel like a while ago in terms of actually playing that game. But like I said, it's not sort of looking back too far. It's more just the positive that you took the 4 points and now field towards whoever our opponents are going to be coming up, and hopefully we find that out soon.
Yeah. Now, obviously in isolation with no games being played, Sean, you'd be well aware there's been a fair bit of spitballing going on and opinion has been king. And Dennis Committee put forward his opinion this week. He actually said he doesn't think the flag or the Brownlow should go ahead this year. They should both be scrapped. So essentially arguing for a season of exhibition games, as it were. If there was no premiership, and no Brownlow medal, I know the Brownlow's not your concern, but if there was no premiership points up for grabs, would the players lose motivation? What would that be like as a player?
Well, that would, clearly it would be. I mean, we all play for that, don't we? And the competitive nature of all of us comes in. It really was the motivating factor through the 8 weeks, is to stay in the sort of condition that you're able to perform at your best and help your team win. And then winning, ultimately, getting into finals and then have a chance at a grand final and a premiership, and so many challenges this year. It's fair that everyone has their point and their opinion, but sometimes if you're removed out of the inner sanctum, it could maybe come across like that. I can guarantee you that inside the four walls of our footy club, it's, you know, we've never been more focused on getting a result this year and excited about what that can take place. The 15 years I've been involved in, no season's presented challenges like this year. And then you combine that with the fact that we're all just playing each other once. In some ways, it's more even than any year I've been a part of.
Yeah, and a few questions here from, I'm assuming, North Melbourne supporters off the Speckle text machine here. Sean asking after Majak, how's he going? Is he looking good on all fronts?
Well, Maj wasn't in my group yesterday, but I did see that he was in it. The club, he trains with his group, and And him, along with the rest of the boys, have come in really good shape and nick and condition. And from a few messages that were flicked around last night, all the groups and all the boys went well. So good to see Madge back out training and building towards getting back as well.
Now, fantastic. Now, outside of the club, you've been busy, haven't you? Before we let you go, you've been working on a little podcast, and you can catch in the podcast store. It's called Mindfulness in Sport. You've been working on this with a mind coach by the name of Richard Maloney. What's that been like, and who's on this week's edition?
It's been really good. Yeah, it's been something in the pipeline for a long while now, and funny that's just coincided with the challenges and pressures that externally outside of football we've had with COVID. So I mean, all of us can use the tips and tools in their everyday life, but it was really focused around the journey I'd been on through my football, getting over and meeting some of the challenges, and then getting back to playing some good footy. And you know, like I said, some tips and tools around that, some real life examples, and then also combined with a few great interviews that we've had on different episodes as well. So an interview coming up that'll be dropped this Friday, and the last Friday's episode that dropped was just an episode on cleaning down and really detaching yourself from all the pressures and that you face in your everyday life to be able to still perform at the optimum level for us as footballers, but also for everyone else out there in the general public, because there's a lot of challenges and pressures that everyone's facing at the moment. We've got to make sure that we can still live a great life and feel good and happy and joy, and that's what it's about.
It's called Mindfulness in Sport. You can get it in the podcast store. Sean Higgins and the mind coach, Richard Maloney. Sean, thanks so much for joining us. Great to have your insights, as always, here on Dwayne's World. You've been so generous with your time, and best luck with the training and path back to the game.
Sam, enjoyed it.
Sean Higgins there, the star veteran of the North Melbourne Football Club. Look for the green and gold Aussie-made logo to be sure it's authentically Australian-made. Off the speckle text from Craig, what do you mean Sean can't win the Brownlow? Now, I didn't say that, Craig. What I was alluding to was that Sean wouldn't be motivated by the Brownlow. So if Dennis Committee, his opinion became fact and there was no Brownlow medal, I was saying that simply wouldn't bother Sean because that wouldn't be his motivating factor to play the game. Premiership, on the other hand, though, that's what they're all in for. 1-300-736-736. You've heard from Sean. Do you like the idea of canned crowd noise? Do you want to see benches extended to six? Get some extra games into some of your lower-level players. It's your show. As always, get in touch with us. Your calls, your texts on the other side of this.